It's Brother Billy. I'm saying good morning to each one of you. Pray God's word is going to bless you today. Look with us into the 15th chapter of the book of Matthew. If you got your Bible, Matthew 15 is where we're going to begin looking here. I want you to see down into the 32nd verse as we hear the song and the singers are singing that wonderful worship hymn that says, "Come to me." Jesus is calling men to himself, and he's calling us for a purpose, calling us for a reason. God's got a plan for your life, and I don't know if you know what that plan is today, but he wants to show it to you. And so if somebody told you, I've got a fortune over here that was left to you, and if you would just come claim that fortune, we'll explain all the details. Why we would all take off work, we'd stop what we were doing, we would lay down everything that appeared to be important to get to find out what the inheritance is. And why I tell you that Christ has left an estate for every man, woman, boy, or girl. He cares about them. He died for them. And you know, we're celebrating this precious season of Jesus' resurrection, how he laid down the supreme sacrifice. We talk about our great military men and women that give themselves and lay their own life down that you and I can be free. That's nothing to take for granted. We commend those. We thank God for those. We owe a great debt to those that do that. But even so, Christ, who came and left the portals of heaven and lived 33 plus years on this earth and went to a cruel grave and died a cruel death on a cruel cross and was killed by Roman soldiers and Jewish leaders. And so we find it here that He went down into the grave, but God didn't leave him there. Thank God he arose. I love that song that says, "Up from the grave he arose, and with mighty triumph o'er his foes, he arose a victor from the dark domain." And we see this in the life of the Lord Jesus. Well, that same Jesus cares for men and women like me and you. I'll never forget the day. Matter of fact, it won't be long. I'll be celebrating when Christ saved me. Almost 30 years ago. And so I'm so glad it's still so real to me today how that God gloriously saved me. And so this year will be 29 years ago that God set me free and birthed me by his blood and saved me by his grace. Now look with me in Matthew 15. I'm going to get the music down and we're going to look at the scripture right here. Look at Matthew 15, and we're going to see something here, and we're going to tie it together with something that we're going to look at maybe in Luke 18. But I want you to get this today. I want you to understand that Jesus cares for you. I don't know where you are. You may be a teenager going through the hard part of those years, that season of life. You may be a young adult. You might be a young married couple, older, a senior. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter of your age. It doesn't matter of your creed. It doesn't matter of your denomination. It doesn't matter the color of your skin. It doesn't matter of your financial standing. None of those things matter. What matters is that we get to Christ. And so we're going to see this, just how important it is. Now, Jesus used a word we're going to read here. And I want to focus on this a little bit because it's tied together with a dear brother in the Lord in the prison ministry that gave me a note. I saw the note just a while ago, and it reminded me and spurned the thought of this very message. And so as we're looking in Matthew 15, we'll tie that together in a moment if I can find that. I'll read that to you. Very simple. But I tell you, the gospel's simple, and the grace of God's simple, and receiving Christ is simple. Now, I'm not talking about a little ABC religion. We're not talking about that. We're not talking about just say 1, 2, 3, repeat after me, shake the preacher's hand, go through the baptismal pool, or take a dip in the creek. That stuff won't save you. But God will save you, and he'll use you for the glory of God. And so you said, "Preacher, what will save me?" Receiving Christ will save you. And so sometimes people think, "Well, I thought I had to do all that." Well, let's talk about the man on the cross. Luke 23:42-43. He looked over at Jesus and he said, "Lord," he said, "remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee," on the cross. You know, we're talking about, we're celebrating that time of Christ on the cross this week. And so here it is, the season, the very season when Christ hung on the cross. And so watch now. He said, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. That man had no time to shake the preacher's hand. He had no time to go through the pool. He had no time to sign a card. None of those things equal salvation. Now that may be a part of what you do after God saves you. That's good. That's nothing wrong with that. But let's not confuse the two events. Salvation's what Christ does. Paul said it's Christ in you. Colossians 1:27. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory, the only expectation, the only hope that I have of seeing Christ as a Savior face to face, seeing heaven as a home, seeing God as a Father. And we'll see Him, and we find it. We're going to see Him as He is. You said, preacher, if I could just see it today, I could believe it. Well, you got to believe it till you see it. Thank God, that's the hope. That's the expectation. That's the encouragement from God's Word. Romans 5:5 said, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And so watch now, Matthew 15. I'm going to read this passage to you. In verse 32, Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion. I love that word, don't you? I have compassion, watch now, on the multitude. You say, well, maybe salvation's just for the one little group of people over there, and I can't get in that group. No, salvation's for the multitude. Jesus died for all sinners. Christ died for all mankind. Christ come to save them. Save them by His great grace. And did you see what He just said? Mark this down. Matthew 15:32. Christ said, I have this compassion on the multitude because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I will not. I like this right here. Oh, we ought to see the emphatic word of God. Jesus put emphasis on His word. He said, I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. And so here we find it. What's this word? Jesus said, I've 3 days they followed me and they've had nothing to eat. And so can you imagine that? 3 days with nothing to eat. I can tell you, the body becomes very weak. The body becomes very frail. The body is experiencing things that we can't comprehend without understanding that. But Jesus understood it. And Jesus said, 3 days they've not taken of any food, and I will not send them away, lest they faint. And so watch. His disciples saying to him, whence should we have so much bread in the wilderness? And so they're in the woods, and they're out there in the places that could be in the fields, but they're in the extreme places, nothing to eat. And Jesus said it. He said it. Whence should these have so much bread? Or pardon me, the disciples said, as to fill so great a multitude. And so their faith is being tested right here. Our faith is tested. And so what do? We get the Word of God out, and we preach to the masses, and we pray this broadcast goes to thousands. Why? Because it's a testing of our faith. Get the Word of God out. Jesus said, preach the gospel. We leave the results up to the Lord Jesus. Our job's to preach. My job, my calling's to get the Word of God out. And so when we do that, here's the disciples' calling. Their calling was to not send them away empty. And they want to know one thing. Where are we going to get the bread? Sometimes people wonder, how can I? Is it possible? Am I capable? And Jesus said, how many loaves have you? He knew how many loaves they had. But He asked them anyway, how many loaves have you? And they said, 7. We got 7 loaves of bread and a few little fishes. And watch, He said, and He commanded the multitude to sit on the ground. And He took the 7 loaves and the fishes and gave thanks. Now that's very important. Jesus set the example. If we're going to have a piece of chicken, we ought to give thanks for it. If we're going to have a gourmet meal, we ought to give thanks. And so here we find it. Jesus gave thanks. And so we find it. Remember the place over in 1 Timothy chapter 4. For it is sanctified. What we eat is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. What's that mean? It's cleansed. It's cleansed by the word of God and prayer. You know, they were talking about Paul was dealing with what's common and what's available to eat and not available to eat. And that was a little debate going on, leftovers from the Jewish thing. And Paul said it's sanctified by the word of God and prayer. And so Jesus set the example of that. He gave thanks. And the word said he broke those loaves and he gave to the disciples and the disciples to the multitude. Now watch this. Jesus puts his disciples in ministry. He didn't say, boys, go over and pick you out a pew and sit on it, and I'm going to do all the distributing here. No, no, no. No, this is what people think. Sometimes people confuse worship with ministry. But worship's not to be confused with ministry. I can go sit and listen to my preacher. I can listen to my pastor, and I love to do that, by the way. But that's not ministry. That's going to listen to ministry. That's participating in worship. We ought to do that. But that's ministry is what we do. And so here Jesus gave them the loaves. Bless God. He thanked God for it. He broke it and said, boys, get out there and get the loaves out. The word of God is for us to put out. You know what we're doing right now? We're breaking the bread of life. We're giving people the word of God. We are feeding those that are ready to faint. We are feeding those that are hungry. Now watch this. You say, preacher, maybe everybody's not hungry. That comes by this broadcast. That's okay. That's okay. That's not for me to worry about. My calling is to get the word of God out. That's what this broadcast is. By internet, by radio, by whatever means. And so through the public preaching. And the prison preaching. And so here, it's just like we're going to read here in a moment. The job is to get the word of God out. I know there are people that come to chapel. Sometimes they come for the wrong reason. Sometimes they come just to get there where it's cool. Sometimes they come because they want to hear the singing. It's irrelevant to me. Thank God my job is to break the bread. That's your job. Your job is to give those you love the word of God. It's to take those bread loaves of God's word and break them. And so to share God's message. And here Jesus put his disciples to work. And he gave them to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat. They did all eat. And were filled, and they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 basketfuls. Now, I like this right here. Boy, if this don't bless you, ain't something wrong with your blesser. Your blesser's broke if this don't bless you. Because here Christ has not only taught his disciples how to minister, but he's blessed the ministry that he gave them. And so now, those seven loaves, in one place we read about 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And Jesus fed the 5,000 men, not counting women and children. So that could have easily been a lot more than 5,000. That was probably 10,000 plus. And so find it here that the 7 and a few little fishes, when they broke it and Christ blessed it. Now this is very key. When God blesses what he's put his hand on in our life, when God calls us and we obey, we can expect his blessing. When those disciples took those 7 fish and those loaves, the 7 loaves and the few fish, when they took those out to the multitude, they had every reason to expect God to bless them. They expected God to put his hand on them. He said, go feed them and don't send them away empty, lest they faint in the way. Well, I tell you, if Christ has called you to break the bread of life, you have to expect God to bless his bread, to bless his message, to bless his word. And he'll speak it to hearts. He'll go out to the highways and the hedges. He'll go into the homes and the automobiles and the workplace. He'll go into the nursing homes and hospital rooms. Christ will go into the car of the business traveler. He'll go into the automobile of those that are vacating and spring break and summer vacation and those things. We'll leave all that to him. Why? Because if we'll get his word out, he will bless his word, just like he blessed those seven loaves and few little fishes. Thank God he blessed it and he broke it and he fed the multitude with it. And that's the job of the church, what we're finding right here. It's the job of the church. And so see it now. There was left of seven basketfuls. I'm going to tell you how God takes. You know, Paul deals with this over in Corinthians. And he talks about the very fact that God is able to bless your seed sown. And not only will he bless it, he'll multiply it. See, God understands multiplication. What God does is he adds and multiplies. He adds to the church daily such as should be saved. He multiplies our seed sown. What the devil does. I'm going to show you the contrast to this. What the enemy does is he subtracts and he divides. That's what he does. He takes away. And so he divides the people. He divides. He uses those that allow themselves to be used. And he divides those things that God established and set up. And so we see it here. And we watch it. Jesus has multiplied those loaves. Watch, those seven loaves turned into seven baskets. Thank God for that. When you get the word out, he'll multiply the seed, he'll bless it, and he'll send it forth and do great things with it. And they that did eat were 4,000 men beside women and children. And so much more than 4,000 people. You know, you can imagine those families back then, they ain't no telling how many babies they averaged per family. It was a lot. And so here we got the wife and we got the children. And so it's several thousand, many, many, many more than 4,000 people that God has done this with. And he sent away the multitude and took ship and came to the coast of Magdala. Now watch this. See this. Go forward a little bit unto Luke 18, because this points out. Remember what Jesus said. He said, I don't want to send them away empty. Christ don't want to send you away empty. And so we're going to see this right here in no better place than Luke 18. I wanted to see if I could pinpoint the note. The note that my friend gave me at the prison must have been last year. And so the note was very simple on a very small piece of paper, and it wasn't complex at all. He said, brother, please pray for me. I keep fainting. Watch this. Please pray for me. I keep fainting. And he signed his name. I won't read his last name, but his first name is Leo. And so Leo says, pray for me. I have a problem fainting. Well, I think every believer that would be honest with themselves and what the Lord would say, preacher, sometimes I faint, or I feel like fainting. I feel very faint. And so, you know, sometimes we as adults, maybe you stoop down and you stayed too long in one position. You stood up real fast and you felt faint. And so that's a natural reaction. Sometimes the believer in the way, they feel like, well, what I'm doing for God doesn't matter. Preachers go through that. They think what I feel I'm doing for God doesn't matter. People in ministry, singers, all kinds of things, all kinds of ministries, people go through that. Believers go through that. And so we see it here. In Luke 18, Jesus spake, and he spake a parable unto this end, unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. See this. What do we ought to do, Christ? He said we ought to always pray. Always pray. See, the secret to not fainting is that we keep praying. Did you hear what Leo said? Leo said, preacher, pray for me because I keep fainting. Well, that's exactly what Jesus said we ought to do. And so here, he wouldn't send the multitude away. Why? Because he was concerned. Christ was concerned that the people might faint if he had them. And he didn't want them to faint. Christ doesn't want us to faint. He doesn't want the church to faint, the believer to faint, the little child to faint, the old saint to faint. Christ is interested that the church does not faint. And he said, I will therefore, God said, it's my will that men pray always. He spake a parable to this end, and we're going to talk about the parable for just a moment. He spoke a parable to this end that men ought always to pray. And so he said the secret, thank God, there's a secret passcode. You know, sometimes automobile companies in our region will have, they'll have the treasure chest, and they'll leave the hints, and they'll say the hint's over there this week. And if you can find the key, then, you know, you save that key, and next week we'll give you another hint. And so what it is it's, you know, it's searching for the treasure key. Well, Jesus has gave us the treasure key, and he said the way you don't faint is you keep praying. And so here he took and he blessed, got to say that word right, don't you? He blessed God's word as he even blessed those seven loaves and few little fishes, and he fed a multitude. That's what he'll do with his word. He'll bless his word to you. He'll break God's word. This is why we ought to stay in his word. And so the psalmist said his word was in mine heart like a burning fire shut up in my bones. Jeremiah said that in chapter 20, verse 9. And so the psalmist said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. He said, the word of God will keep me from sin if I hide it in my heart. And so the word of God's very precious. And so those seven loaves and few little fishes fed the multitude, and then they went away full. When we get in God's word, when we spend time in prayer church, then you know what will happen? We'll go away full. Sometimes a brand new believer will be discouraged. Why? Because it's not going as fast as they like. They feel like they're just not growing, and they're not progressing. But the secret is staying in his word. As we stay in his word, we begin to grow. It's like a little child. That little child maybe wants to do things before they can do them, and so they'll tear out. They want to go across the living room, and they took a step, and then they want to take another step, and what happens is they've just not grown. They've not matured to that place, and sometimes the young believer has to understand that God is growing you. And after a while, you'll be running all around the house, climbing up on the furniture and standing on the refrigerator. But right now, it's one step at a time. God wants to progress you. And you spiritually, you'll grow. Your muscles, your spiritual muscles will grow. Your tendons, all of these things. Spiritually speaking, you'll grow. You become stronger. And you'll develop strength and coordination. How do I get that, preacher? You get that by the Word of God. And if you don't get the Word of God, what will happen is you'll faint. It's much like the young child. You take that suck bottle away from him, and he's going to faint. You take it out in the farm life, and so if you know in cattle, if that calf can't get to that mother and receive nourishment, that calf will faint, and outside of some other source will die. And so what happens to the believer? We don't want to faint. Jesus said, pray that you not faint. I will that men pray always. How long, preacher, do I pray? Will a year or two get it done? No. As long as you're in this body, you're going to deal with what this body has to deal with. Christ said, I will that they pray always and not to faint. And so Leo is like us. You know what he wants? He don't want to faint. Preacher, I don't like fainting. Fainting's not fun. I hate it when I disappoint the Lord. I hate it when I disappoint others. I hate it when I disappoint myself. Pray for me that I will quit fainting. Well, Jesus has got the cure for that. And so he talked about a woman that, watch this, there was in a woman in the city, a judge that feared not God and didn't regard man. And then he talked about a little widow. Watch now. And so this widow has came and said, avenge me of mine adversary. She needs something from the judge. And so there's an unjust judge that doesn't fear God, and he ain't worried about what people think either. And this little woman, she's asking for some help. And he said, watch now, he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because, I like this, if there's one thing you ought to underline, it's two words right here. It's because this widow troubleth me. And so you know what she's doing? She's knocking on the door. And she's out there, and he said, I don't fear man, and I don't regard God. You know what the widow's doing? She's sitting out there knocking on the door. And he said, though I don't fear God, and though I don't fear man, yet Because this widow, she's out there, what's she doing? Well, she won't quit praying. Jesus is equaling this to prayer, what prayer does. Preacher, what do? You keep asking God. You keep telling God. You keep believing God. And so she's out there, and Judge trying to get a nap. He can't get a nap. Wants to watch a ball game, but this woman, listen, she's out there. Won't quit knocking on the door. Won't go on to somebody else's house. No. Jesus made the parallel. He said, this unjust judge, he don't fear God. And there's some of those. And then he don't fear man. There's some of those too. But he said, why? Because lest her continual coming weary me. He said, I'm going to give her what she wants, just where she'll go on. Leave me alone. And so he did give her that. And Jesus said, the Lord said, verse 6. I know we go to a little bit of trouble to make these analogies, but I want to paint the picture for you. I want to paint a picture for you like you're there. I think the preacher worth his salt and his bread will paint the picture, and he'll take the person from the pew and he'll put them right there in the profile of what Jesus is saying in his word. And that judge, watch now, and verse number 6, the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. Jesus said, this judge, he ain't worth salt in his bread. He's sorry as gully dirt. He's an unjust judge. He lies, cheats, steals. Maybe he takes bribes by the dozen. I don't know. But Jesus is making a point out of him. He said, fellas, I want you to hear what the unjust judge saith. Listen to what the unjust judge said. The unjust judge just taught you something. Christ said, hear what he saith. And he said, hear what he saith, and shall not God. He said, let me tell you, if that unjust judge will do it, how much more will God do it? God will avenge his own. What's he talking about? He's talking about his own young'uns. God will avenge his own young'uns. He'll avenge them, though he bear long with them. He will avenge his own elect. Thank God if you're saved by the marvelous grace of God, you are one of God's elect, and so am I. And so everyone God saved is one of his elect. And Jesus said he'll avenge his own elect, though he bear long with them. Now watch verse 8. One of my favorite verses is Luke 18:8. He said, I tell you that he will. Oh, that's adamant, sir. I think Jesus said that with some don't you? I think Jesus bowed up a little bit when he said that. I tell you that he will avenge them. How so, Lord? How so? How so? Speedily, Christ said. He's going to do it quickly. He ain't going to lay around there like the unjust judge. Jesus said, I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, watch now. He closed this with a question. He said, when the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith on the earth? I want to ask you about that. When Christ comes, is he going to find faith in your heart? Is he? Is he going to find faith in your life? Is he going to look at you? Is he going to look at you and say, you know, Lisa over there, she believed God and she banked everything about her eternal salvation on the Lord Jesus. James, he put it all on the Lord Jesus. John Boy, put it all on the Lord Jesus. All of these things. Fred, believe God, and God saved him by his grace. Will he find faith on the earth? Is there faith in your heart? Is there saving faith? And so here are those that's about ready to faint. You said, preacher, I feel faint in my faith. I feel faint in my heart. I feel like I can't put one foot ahead of the other. I tell you, you need to bring it to him. And the Lord said, verse 6, that God will avenge his own elect, and he will do it speedily, church. He'll do it quickly. And so here, he said, disciples, you feed the multitude, lest they faint in the way. Christ spake a parable to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. God does not want you to faint. He wants you to have faith. And that's the one thing that'll keep us from fainting. Father, God, would you take your word today? Lord, would you speak it to hearts? God, would you breathe it to the lives of those that are in need today? Lord, the song that they're singing this morning is, come to me, come to me, come. Christ wants to do a magnificent work. Christ wants to speak peace to the heart today that's troubled, the sinner that needs to be saved, the sick person that needs to be healed. God, I pray the discouraged that needs, Lord, they need a shot, a B12 shot of encouragement in their heart. I pray, would you do it? Do it today, do it now. For God's glory, speak peace and speak grace to every heart. In Jesus' name we ask it. I pray the word of God bless you richly. Until we meet again, may God's blessing be upon you, I pray.